Last time we were together, and we were doing a study on the book of 1 Corinthians. And last time we started to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 17. And what we started to see there, that there were many contentions in the Church of Corinth, as there are, unfortunately, today, many contentions in our churches. But Paul was trying to deal with them and to address them. And we started to look at how the men of that church were divided, what they were divided over. We first looked at the differences in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. We discussed and we looked at the preachers that they were divided over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. And then we started to look at the division over baptism. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, we read this. Paul wrote, "I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to be baptized, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect." So what Paul is doing here, he is writing and he's thanking God he hadn't baptized them so they wouldn't say that he baptized them in his own name. And that's all. Now, he wasn't de-emphasizing or excluding baptism. He baptized. He indeed baptized. However, Paul tells us the Lord didn't send him to baptize. That wasn't the purpose that the Lord sent him. He called Paul to preach the gospel. Now, in addition to preaching the gospel, he also wrote, he also dealt with problems in the churches, and he also taught and so forth. Now, the divisions over baptism are obvious. For example, some believe in infant baptism like the Roman Catholic Church. They teach that those who have been baptized as babies will go to heaven. And some, like the Church of Christ, believe that water baptism is essential for salvation. In other words, they don't baptize babies, but they believe you can't go to heaven without being baptized in water. Now, the truth is that water baptism is commanded by the Lord, but that it follows salvation. And we looked at last time at the example of the Ethiopian eunuch, amen, in the book of Acts chapter 8, how he believed first and then he was baptized in water. And the same goes for the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. He's another prime example. He and his family got saved, and then after salvation, they were baptized. Now, some, like the group we call the Baptist Briders, believe that water baptism is for believers only, but that you must be baptized by them, even if you've already been baptized scripturally by someone else. Amen. So we see divisions in that church of Corinth. Now, those Paul baptized that he could remember were Crispus, who was the chief ruler of the synagogue. Amen. And then he mentioned Gaius, who was Paul's host. Amen. In Romans chapter 16, verse 23, we read in the Word of God, "Gaius," Paul says, "mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you, and Quatrus, a brother. So he says, Gaius, mine host. So what do we see there? We see then that Gaius was a host of Paul, and Paul baptized him. And then he mentioned the household of Stephanas. Now, they were the first fruits of Achaia. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, the words of Almighty God say this, I beseech ye, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So then we see that Paul mentions Crispus, and he mentions the household of Stephanas. He mentions Gaius. These are the people that he baptized. Amen. Now, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul says, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. So, now the gospel that Paul preached, the gospel is defined as the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's stated there very clearly and completely in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. The words of God say this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. This is the gospel that Paul preached. This is the gospel you and I should preach. We read this, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. So Paul here is, again, in his first letter to the Corinthians, says, This is the gospel. This is the gospel that I preach to you, that you received, and that you're trusting in for your salvation, wherein you stand. Verse 2, By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Amen. Paul says, Remember, this is the gospel I preached to you. Keep it in mind. This is what you believed on to be saved. Amen. If you don't, then you believed in vain. Your belief means nothing. Here it is. For I declare unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Paul received the gospel from the Lord. He was sent to preach the gospel. He was sent by Christ to preach the gospel. This is the gospel that Christ told him to preach, he said, which I also received. He received it from Christ. He didn't receive it from man. Amen. He didn't read about it in some theological book. This was given to him straight by the Lord. He says, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. That's it. Number one, Christ died for our sins. The second part, that he was buried. Number two. Number three, that he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel, that every individual is saved by believing on that gospel today. Amen. So that's the gospel. There shouldn't be any confusion about what the gospel is. And Paul referred to it, to the gospel, as my gospel. My gospel. In Romans chapter 2, in verse 16, In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Amen. The gospel that Christ had sent him to preach, that Christ gave Paul to preach, that Paul received from Christ. For instance, because in addition to the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, he was given revelations concerning the body of Christ, the indwelling of the Lord, spiritual circumcision, spirit baptism, and so forth, that were not known until they were revealed to Paul. So that's why he says, my gospel. It's very special to him. God had revealed things that he had never revealed to any other. Amen. Now, Paul preached repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 21, Paul is writing and he says, Luke is writing, wrote the book of Acts, and he writes down saying, here it is, testifying, this is what Paul did, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And here Paul is in this chapter, he's giving his farewell address to those church leaders and the people of Ephesus. Amen. So Paul preached to both Jew and Greek repentance toward God. You got to have repentance towards God for your sin. You're sorry for your sin that you sinned against God. And then you're believing faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Now, he elaborated, Paul did, on repentance in Acts chapter 26 in verse 20. Acts 26 verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. He elaborates on the repentance. You repent, you change your direction 180 degrees. And now you turn to God, and now you're doing things that please God. Works meet for repentance. Works that show you that you're saved, that you've repented, that you're right with Almighty God. That's what repentance is. Amen. It's not just some lip service to God. I'm sorry. I believe on Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved. No. You're showing that you're saved. That you've actually turned from your wicked ways and now you've turned to God. In other words, you're separated from something onto something. Amen. So now, he also preached, Paul preached, faith toward Jesus because we are saved by the faith of Christ. Galatians chapter 2, in verse number 16, we read this, and the word of God says this, Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. See that? We're justified by the faith of Christ. We're not justified by works. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of the law, for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Amen? So the works do not save us. Works do not justify us. Now, he preached the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of heaven. Looking in Acts chapter 20, verse 25. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. The kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom that one is born again into when one gets saved, when he believes on Christ. The kingdom of heaven is a physical, literal kingdom of God on this earth, which will take place when the Lord returns the second time and establishes his 1,000 millennial reign on this earth. Amen? Very important not to get confused between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. He warned against making the cross of none effect by preaching with wisdom of words. See, clever words that have no effect. Amen. Clever words have no effect. It's wisdom, wisdom of words. Now, also, the cross is essential to salvation in that we die so that Christ can live his life in us. Amen. Look with me in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verses 6 through 12. The words of God have this to say: knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Also, look with me in Galatians chapter number 2, in verse number 20. In Galatians 2, verse 20, the Word of God says this: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As a side note, Jesus warned against making the word of God a none effect through tradition. Amen. He addressed the religious crowd in Matthew 7, verse 13, and he said this to them: making the word of God a none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things do ye. In other words, just like today, the religious crowd back in Jesus' day put their religious traditions before the Word of God, put the commandments of men before the Word of God. And by doing that, they made the Word of God a none effect. It was still an effect, but to them it was none effect. But they reaped what they sowed, just like those today put their religious traditions before the Word of God. The Word of God is the final authority for you and I today, not men's religious traditions or some commandments that men have made up. No, the final authority, my dear listener, is the Word of God. Now, it is of utmost importance that we keep our minds on Christ and maintain the unity of the Spirit and charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Remember, we are different people with differing gifts, but we are members of the same body. And we'll leave that for a further discussion when we come and we study 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Amen. Now we want to continue on, and we're going to look at the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 18 through 31. 18 through 31. Now, this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31, we've entitled it The Preaching of the Cross. The Preaching of the Cross. In the remainder of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul contrasts the response of the saved and the lost to the preaching of the cross. First, unto us which are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. 1 Corinthians, with me, chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, the Word of God has this to say, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world?" Amen. And then verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read this: "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now, through death, Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death, even the devil. How do I know that? Like with everything else, thus saith the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 verses 14 and 15. The words of Almighty God say this: "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." The himself here is Jesus Christ. It's referring to Jesus Christ. "That through death, he," that's Jesus Christ, "might destroy him," that's the devil, "that had the power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." My dear listeners, what a blessing. If you're saved, if you're a born-again, blood-bought child of God, you no longer have to fear death. You're no longer long under that bondage of fear of what's going to happen when you die, because you know, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen? Praise God for that. We are so blessed to be saved. Now, death has been the problem ever since Adam sinned, has it not? Notice what the words of God say in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 and 14, the words of God say this: "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." Who's that one man? Adam. "And death by sin. Because of the result of Adam's sin, death entered the world. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Amen. Now, all mankind is affected by its power. Amen. The power of sin. Yet Jesus Christ is more powerful, hallelujah, than death. And he conquered death. Amen? How do I know this? It's a fact. It's in the scriptures. Romans chapter 7. Romans 7, verses 24 and 25. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who said that? Probably one of the greatest Christians that will ever live, the Apostle Paul. called himself a wretched man. Says, who's going to deliver me from my flesh, from the body of death? Verse 25, the answer is, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Now, Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead with a power greater than the powerful rockets of NASA. Yet people seem so more impressed with NASA's rockets than they do with Jesus' resurrection. Amen. See, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Amen. You see, my dear listeners, the cross gives us power over sin. Being crucified with Christ, Romans chapter 6, verse 6, tells us the body of sin might be destroyed, and then henceforth we should not serve sin. You see, the cross of Christ, gives us power over the world. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, the Word of God says, but God forbid that I should glory, saved in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Paul says, the only thing I'm going to glory in is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it gives us power over sin, over the world. You see, the cross gives us power to live. And Christ lives his life in us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My dear listener, Christ wants to live through you. You've been crucified with Christ, but you're still alive. You're still on this earth. But it's not you, it's Christ. He's living in you. In the life which you now live in the flesh, you live by faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Turn it over to him, my dear friends. Let him live in and through you. Amen. That's why you're having problems and difficulties, because you're not letting him live in and through you. Well, we're just about done for our lesson today. But we're going to continue next time and go through, as we continue to go through this book of 1 Corinthians, and I pray it will be a blessing to you. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.